Donalana Kitchen talks about food. Donalana Kitchen talks recipes. Donalana Kitchen talks about lots of other things on community radio. Welcome to the Donalana Kitchen. My name is Lana Noctico.
And I'm Donna Prisgintas.
We gather here once a week around our kitchen table to talk about food, farming, advice, recipes, and opinions. And we gather here at the studios of KHOI Community Radio in beautiful downtown Ames, the center of Iowa, the center of it all. And thanks to KHOI Community Radio for making this our available to the airwaves. Yes. Well, spring. It seems like it's been a long time coming, Donna.
Yeah. It's we've hit May 1st, but it still feels like March because of the wind.
Yes. Interesting weather. And boy, I don't know about everybody else's farm, but I could sure use some more rain. I thought April showers were supposed to bring May flowers.
Well,
but we've got April wind.
We're still in like the lion, out like the lamb. That's March, right?
Okay.
So it's windy. It's cold. Complain. You can complain about the weather all you want, but there's not much you can do about it.
Oh, however, the wildflowers are waking up, and they are a joy to see. Oh, goodness. Bluebells are lovely this year. Maybe because we haven't had torrential rains. Things are just popping
right,
up.
Right, it's not beating up the flowers.
Yeah.
Although we did have some rain in time to sort of beat up the magnolias, but who knows? The lilac are getting little buds on them, so, you know,
it comes
along in spite of all of these unpleasantries.
And every year about this time, if the breeze is just right and the sun is just right, the plum blossoms, wild Iowa plums, when they're in blossom, the aroma from the blossoms, just about my socks off.
It wafts through the woods, as you say.
Right? Wafting.
Yes. You really feel what that word means if you're just in a little hike through the woods. You know, you'll go through a pocket of air and, oh, I smell it. Where is it?
It's good.
It's a beauty.
It is. Oh, and also, bluebells. I've been enjoying eating bluebells. If you can eat the whole thing. Not the roots, but cut it off and you can steam them or pan fry them a little bit. They are quite tasty.
They are. They're lovely.
Well, so there you go. And since we have so darn many.
We're not to nettles quite yet, are we?
Oh, you can find nettles. They're actually at the small and tender stage, or about ankle high. You'll find them if you have a bare ankle.
Oh, that's
there.
True. Okay, now when they're small and tender, do they sting as much?
Not as much, but be careful anyway.
They still sting. Okay.
Yeah. But they're good to eat, too. So all those good things are out there. Well, today, to kind of celebrate the start of May by the calendar, today we're looking at all things May. May Day and May flies and May baskets and May West and all those sort of things. Mays. Yeah. And speaking of wildflowers, I have a little bit of information here on something called May apples. May apples are something you find in the woods. They're just coming up now. Two things about May apples. Well, for one thing, they are called May apples or the American mandrake or the wild mandrake.
That's right, mandrake. That's a funny word.
Isn't that a strange word? Yeah. But anyway, May apples, they do form a little apple. They have kind of this umbrella little flat leaves on the top of a little tree. They are woodland plants, and they grow in colonies, kind of spreading by rhizomes.
And how tall do they get?
Oh, let's see. 12 to 16 inches, not much. They're kind of around
here. But they're poking up through the forest floor.
Yeah,
basically.
Right now, right. And yes, they do have, they do make a little apple. But the May apple doesn't show up until way, way, way later in the summer. So why they call it May apples, I don't know. Because
well,
right now,
what color is the blossom?
It's May. Oh, it's May blossoms. The flowers are white, yellow, or red. Huh?
Oh, really?
It
a red one?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And it's underneath that umbrella. Huh? And then the fruit, which is actually a little round, apple-ish looking thing, is yellow. It's a little sort of an apple thing.
What is this, something the squirrels eat or something like that?
Well, actually, one can make. Well, I think anybody would like it. They're actually quite tasty. You can make jelly out of them. However, everything except the fruit is poisonous. So be careful out there. It's poisonous. And however, the substance they contain, podophyllotoxin, is used as a purgative and also...
Purgative. Purgative. Makes you throw up.
It does. Yes. You don't need that, Donna. But also, keep this in your hat in case you ever need it. It's used to treat warts.
What do you do? Stick it on the wart with a...
Topically. So, anyway, bits of... So
That goes along with, what was that old one about frog saliva treating warts or...
Oh, I don't know
that one. And there was another one, like, put a piece of bacon on. I mean, I don't... Yeah. Yeah.
All these things you learn on
warts,
the dental.
Warts, the bane of our existence, right?
Okay, another sign of spring and a local May favorite is the return of farmers markets. Farmers markets
All
are going
right.
to pop up and, oh, good. Joining us at our kitchen table today is Lo Jean Peterson. Welcome, Lo Jean.
Welcome. Thank you so much for having me, you guys.
Oh, great. Lo Jean is one of the happy driving forces on Main Street in Ames all through the summer on Saturday morning. She tells everybody where to park and how to do things and where things are. She's been part of the Ames Farmers Market for quite a while. So, Lo Jean, tell us about the Ames Farmers Market.
Well, we started the Ames Farmers Market in 2011 here on Main Street, down on the 400 block. And I took over about somewhere in the second year, and then we've grown it to the 300 block. And it's just really a fun atmosphere downtown Ames with all the beautiful shops and flowers down here. We have 80-some vendors signed up, and we're looking forward to a great season.
Oh, that's wonderful. The farmers market has grown. There's been farmers markets around Ames for quite a few years, but since it's actually got a home place now on Main Street, it feels like...
On Saturday mornings.
On Saturday mornings. It feels like the city of Ames has kind of decided that farmers markets are a good idea and a real community building sort of thing. It's not just people with vegetables, is it, Lo Jean? There's lots of other activities going on.
Absolutely. We try to make it a real community event that brings down all ages. You know, we have something for everybody. We have crafts, we have artisans, we have food trucks, a variety of different kind of bakers and things like that. And we always try to involve different activities like cooking contests for all age groups, live music with a wide variety of genres, you know, to please everybody, and petting zoos, pony rides, you know, you name it. We try to have it down there so everybody can get involved. And it is a pop-up community, I think, every Saturday. People, all ages, all genre, you know, everybody. It's just a fun atmosphere.
Good.
Well, there's always lots of children and lots of dogs. People, it's like the people parade, you know?
Well, actually, yeah, for people to promenade up and down the street, I think it's just worth it for that. It's so nice to meet your friends and neighbors that way.
Well, you know, Lana and I we're always on about seasonal and local, and yes, we know, and even we probably buy the most of our foods from the supermarkets like everybody else, but we do live in a climate controlled environment. You know, you just push a button and you make the temperature warmer or cooler or whatever. And the same thing with our food. We have kind of lost track of what is in season. I personally try never to buy a tomato when the tomatoes are not in season, simply because the tomatoes in the grocery store that are not in season don't have much flavor. So to me, it seems a waste of time. But you'd be surprised at how many people do not realize that strawberries have a season, tomatoes have a season. So the farmer's market is a constant reminder of that. What is in season? You know, and when you get a tomato at the farmer's market or when you get a strawberry at the farmer's market, it's going to actually taste better.
It is. It is.
It's like, I kind of think of it like, you know, yeah, you can live without going to the farmer's market, just like you can live and never go to a museum. But these things enrich our lives so much. And the farmer's market is something, there are farmer's markets in almost all communities now. It is something that in the last, 15 or more years has kind of taken the nation by storm, I would say. And even though it seems like such a minuscule part of our food system, it is a place to go to be reminded of what is grown locally, what is in season. So, Lojean, what will be in terms of produce at the first farmer's market?
Well, we will have some greens, I believe, and some radishes. And, you know, I'm really not quite sure how much we'll have. But, you know, we have high tunnels these days mm-hmm. that some of our vendors can get a jump on some of their vegetables and stuff. So there will be some of that. But I think we'll have a lot of bedding plants and flowers and baked goods to start with. And then as things come into season, they'll bring them. But I think that's a great point that you bring up that, you know, the market is where you can go to meet your farmers, meet the people who actually grow your food. And they, in turn, will spend that money right back in your own very own community.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very good cycle to build on. And, you know, there's a quote out there that, you know, your grocery store vegetables sometimes travel an average of 1,200 miles before they reach the, you know, your store shelf. Well, at the farmer's market, you can talk to the market, the farmer, and he'll probably tell you, yeah, I just picked this yesterday or this morning before I came. They're picking it at the peak of freshness. And taste, like you say, it'll be the best tasting product that you can taste. And, you know, it's just a great opportunity to support your local people. Most of the people that we have, you have to grow it yourself. And so they're local people, and you have to make it yourself. If you bring an artisan item or a crafting product, you have to make it. So these are hardworking people out there doing their entrepreneurial business to support themselves.
Well, in our market, we also have a lot of meat products, which can fortunately be grown year-round in Iowa, and some dairy farmers. We have wonderful cheese from Lost Lake Farm. I hope he'll be at the market again this year. And multiple vendors for meat and jerky and eggs and, you know, a lot of different things that we can do here. And I personally I get excited about the lettuce because those first lettuces that we get in the market, and you just think, lettuce, you know, let us have lettuce. It does taste differently than the stuff that we've been eating all winter long. Sometimes it's a little more bitter, but it's nutrient dense, as they would say. So I'm looking forward to some really crispy, fresh salads, and we're not talking iceberg lettuce here.
No, that's good. That's good.
Oh, there's such a variety out there. You know, that's another thing at the market. You can find such variety mm-hmm. of products, you know, and the farmers will be, you know, they love to talk about their product and tell you how best to fix it or,
mm-hmm.
It's just a great, great place.
Good. How did you initially get involved in the farmer's market? You said you've been with it for since 2011, but how did you get involved in the market?
Well, they needed somebody quick, and my daughter happened to work at the chamber at that time. And Jim and I used to farm over in Northwest Iowa.
Ah.
And summers, we would take sweet corn down to Omaha to their farmer's market. So I kind of had the gist of what a farmer's market was, you know. And so they asked me if I could just help and, you know, until get things going. And then they've never gotten rid of me because I love it so much.
Lucky for Ames.
Yes, lucky for Ames.
Very lucky.
So it's another case of, oh, yeah, my mom will do it.
We are so glad. That's good. Give us a little rundown. It's not farmers markets, especially if you're going to be closing down this main street, it's not really just as simple as showing up and backing up a truck. Tell us the things that you have to, tell us some of the logistics that you have to go through every Saturday morning.
Okay, well, to be able to have it, you have to get, fill out special events applications to go through the council to get approved. You have to do emergency and safety plans. We get noise permits in order to have the bands. We also get permission so that the businesses that are on the streets with us, that they can set out their inventory on the sidewalk if they'd like, on half of the sidewalk. So that's another perk. We try to involve the businesses. Got to get permission to set up the porta potties and the garbage. There's a lot of back behind the scenes stuff that needs to be done before you ever send out your applications and stuff to the vendors. So, but it's the city works great with us, and we're so appreciative of their support. And the Chamber of Commerce, I work under the Chamber of Commerce umbrella, and their support means the world. You know, they help me with all these logistics and things. So, you know, I have a great support system.
That's wonderful. I just know that you and Jim and some volunteers are down there bright and early, and you've got your clipboard. And the thing is, you always have a smile. It really is a... I don't want to say farmers market is like herding cats, but you have to deal with a lot of different people and make sure all the vendors are treated equally. That's a very good thing, because some farmers have been doing this for years, and other people are just brand new and starting out. And do you have any advice for someone who has never vended anything at the market, but maybe would be thinking about doing that?
Well, I think it's a great atmosphere, you know, to come down. And you have to love this to do it, you know, and believe in your product. Just come down. You get to meet your customers one-on-one and get to know what it is that they want from you. So it's a great starting point. And then we have... probably, 10 or 11 businesses grow from a market, a vendor, to a brick-and-mortar store. So that's
really
always exciting also, yes.
Oh, which are some of those that are doing that?
Well, Life Distilled is one of our newest ones down here on Main Street. We've had, of course, Corn Bread was a vendor before he opened up his store. Let me see. Salt and Pretzel. Boy, you caught me off guard. But there's been like 10 or 11 throughout the 10 or 11 years that I've been doing this gone to brick and mortar stores.
Well,
Little Tea.
Ah.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Well, now what about food trucks and food vendors? How do they just come to you and request, or how is that all managed?
Yes, they have to fill out an application just like everybody else. We fill out an application. We have a group here that goes through our applications. I'm excited. This year we're bringing some new flavors to Ames. We've got a Mediterranean food truck. We've got Fresh Fusion is a new vendor that's bringing Indian food because we've missed our Indian Delights that used to be here.
Oh, I miss them too.
Yes. So I've got a new vendor that's going to bring back some of that Indian flavor. And I've got a baker from the Ukraine that makes beautiful desserts.
Ooh.
So, you know, we try to pull in some different things, different flavors, and I'm very excited to see how that all goes over.
Yes. Oh, and three cheers for the people that sell a good hot cup of coffee of a Saturday morning, too. I think that's part of the people promenading up and down the street, you know, with a dog leash in one hand and a coffee cup in the other, or maybe holding on to a kid with one hand and a coffee cup in
or
the other.
Or how about a donut in one hand?
Oh, a donut?
And
okay.
The coffee in the other.
This is good. Just talking about farmer's market opening up again sounds wonderful.
Yeah, and now we'll have a Ukrainian pastry in one hand and a coffee in the other.
I can see where Donna's going to go first. That's very good. Very good. You say you and Jim do a lot of work to put this on, but do you look for volunteers or do people come in and volunteer?
Yeah, we always welcome volunteers to help with this. We're always open to that, and we do have people ask about it. So it's great to have help when you have to set up and tear down and hook up everybody to electricity. And there's a lot of, I always feel like in the mornings, it's like playing musical chairs, you know, for people showing up, or maybe they don't show up and you move people around. So it's always fun to have help.
Good.
Very much appreciated.
Good. And moving people around and getting people all set up in the morning, it's a bit of, quite a bit of hard work, but we really appreciate it.
What hours is it open to begin the shopping? So you're ready at, is it 8:30?
No, it's 8 o'clock.
Oh, 8 o'clock. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
8 to what?
8 o'clock to 12:30.
To 12:30. Okay. Which means you're there at what time?
We're there around 5:30.
Yes.
In the morning.
Yeah. Some of my farmer friends, you know, they'll talk about how they, on market day, they will get up at the crack of dawn to pick really fresh things. And you look at some of the farmers and the displays that they put on of their produce, just beautiful. And you have to think about how much work that is for them to get it all up, get it into the baskets, load it up, set it up, rain or shine. Mm-hmm. I think especially when it's kind of rainy, I know that's hard on the farmer's market. So I really try especially to go on the rainy days.
Because our crowd is great. You know, on the rainy days, they will come out. As soon as it stops or if it's just sprinkling, they're out there buying their produce. We so much appreciate that because the farmers do put a lot of work into.
Yep. Rain or shine, they do it. Yeah.
Rain or shine. Mm-hmm.
Very good. Who are some of the long-term vendors on the Ames Farmers Market? We see the same faces, and I look forward to them. Who are some of the long-term mm-hmm. vendors?
Well, we miss you, Lana.
I come down with my coffee cup. So,
yeah. Yeah, we still get to see you. Red Granite is a long-time vendor. Carlos Quesadillas has been with us forever.
Still look at her list.
Like Purple Ribbon Beef, Grandview Beef, Stargrass Farms, Friends Flowers, Elizabella Flowers, Fisher's Produce has been there a long time. Baked by Bath. Walnut Creek and Jewel's Country Kitchen.
Oh, yes. Oh, they've been side by side for quite a few years, yes.
Yes, they have been. They have been. So, and Backcountry Winery has now been with us for several years. So, Heritage Hills and, like you say, Lost Lake Farm will be there with their cheese.
And Root to Rise.
Yes, Root to Rise. They have a beautiful display. Simple Life Farms will be there with their goat patties. Then we have like Jammed with a Love that makes a bunch of jams that aren't used for actually toast, really. They're more for meats and sauces. So that's always very interesting.
Oh, lots of good people. Lots of good people. And we're really looking forward to Farmers Market. Thanks for being with us, Lojean. Is there a website you can direct people to reiterate the times and directions? And how can they contact you if they want to volunteer?
Absolutely. There's a page on our website for volunteers to sign up if you'd like. And our website is just Ames Main Street FarmersMarket.com. You can go to our Facebook or call us here at the Ames Chamber of Commerce, and we'd love to hear from you, whether you'd like to volunteer or just or maybe possibly vend with us.
Very good.
To hear from you.
Well, we're looking forward to a fine summer. Thank you for being with us, Lojean. Thank you very much for the Ames.
And see you on Saturday. Yay!
Ames Main Street.
I can't wait.
Very good. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
You're listening to KHOI Community Radio, and this is the Donalana Kitchen, tasty radio for the heart of Iowa. This is the Donalana Kitchen. We're talking about May things. May, the time of farmers markets and wildflowers coming up. Donna, tell us a little bit about May Day traditions.
Well, the first of May or the first few days of May are traditionally in the British Isles, in the Celtic history, which is based, I think, on Germanic traditions as well, is Beltane. Which is the, you know, it's the spring, the rite of spring. It's the time of great rejoicing, building fires at night. It has a bit of a reputation for, exuberant, fertility rites.
Well, somebody has to.
Well, it is that time of, oh, wow, phew, the inwardness of winter when it's too cold and it's too bleak to go out that much is, you know, we all feel a bit relieved when we start to feel the warm weather and see at this stage that we're in right now. I like to call it the green lacy stage, when all the trees have little tiny leaves. You know, it's certainly not full coverage, but it is green and it is beautiful. So Beltane, maypoles. Bonfires.
Yes. The tane. It's Beltain. The tane part of Beltane means?
Fire.
Means fire. So there we go. Yeah. Let's getting a little exuberant here. Oh, maypoles. From the ancient tradition of, now, yes, it does have very much a phallic sort of.
Original maypoles were just tall trees.
Yeah.
Then they started sort of cutting down a tree and, you know, putting it in the middle of the village and wrapping ribbons around it and things like that. In fact, it did say, even in some Germanic and other traditions, people just used to tie a ribbon to a tree.
Yeah.
You know, something simple. But it's symbolic of the change in the season, which we all feel. All, you know, it's not, at that point, a human being is really aware that, you know, we are part of nature, because it's just, oh, such a relief. And you all feel happy at the sunshine and the warmer weather. And it is something to celebrate.
Yes, it is. The month of May is named after the goddess who is the chief of the Greek Seven Sisters of the Pleiades. How about that? The goddess May, M-A-E, is the mother of Hermes. And this says, and so when you look up at the Pleiades, that's one, I can't find many constellations, but I can generally find the Pleiades up there. So I'll think about her. May, the head of the Seven Sisters. That's very good. Also, this is the time of the year to honor the hawthorn tree, because that is her symbol. The goddess is honored. And the hawthorn tree, it is flowers in May.
And the hawthorn tree, medicinally, some of them anyway, because there are a lot of hawthorns all over the world, is traditionally good for your heart.
That's right. A lot of herbal things have got hawthorn in. That's a good thing, thinking of spring and waking up and, you know, that sort of thing.
Now, did you do this when you were a child, Lana? My sister and I always made May baskets. We would use colored sheets of construction paper, and there were the cone kinds that you could wrap, and then you'd glue a little handle to it, or the kind of folded and woven, small, you know, like 3 or 4 inches, and then we would fill them with flowers and sweets or cookies and hang them on our neighbor's doors, on the doorknob, ring the bell, and run away.
Yes, something about spring exuberance and young girls. That's a nice thing to do. I remember that.
Yeah, and I don't think it's done at all anymore. But it is was based on a tradition. So that would have been in the 50s. We probably did it, you know, in grade school kind of activity. And we planned for days and made these baskets and got so excited of, you know, and we'd hide in the bushes and watch the neighbors come to the door and get their baskets. And it is based on something that had gone on for several hundred years, which is no more, I guess.
Well, it's kind of like trick-or-treating in reverse. I like it a lot.
Yes, yes.
And I hate to bring up a sad subject, but people ringing strangers' doorbells
I guess we can't do that
are
anymore.
Not looked on as a positive
thing.
Well,
you didn't do it to strangers. You did it to your friends, to your family, you know, for your grandmother. We particularly made sure that all the older people in the neighborhood, we would take baskets to.
I remember doing that, and actually the little wildflowers that are available now, by the time you pick them and put them in the basket, they kind of fall apart. But the thought was always good.
I'm sure we even put dandelions in our basket. And probably violets, which might have been... Are there violets yet?
Yeah, violets are just starting. I'm looking for mushrooms, but they're a ways off. We need a good rain for mushrooms.
Yeah, it's not wet enough yet.
Yeah. So, we're talking about May things. We don't do maypoles here because the Puritans kind of put a squash to that sort of thing. I mean, you're jumping around doing pagan rituals and things, which is too bad because we all should celebrate spring.
Well, that kind of maypole. There was, however, the kind that you did in the Girl Scouts.
The Girl Scouts.
You know, with crepe paper ribbons that you danced around and, twirled it all together around the...
Yeah.
Something that looked like a flagpole. They probably people do that still, don't they?
Yeah, I think so. Sure. Very good. May Day, what a good thing. Let's celebrate. Get out and at least smell yourself some plum blossoms. But there's all other May Day things. May Day. The origins of May Day as an international distress call. Huh? Ever wonder why you hear that? You hear it? And it's, we think of SOS.
Save our ship, right?
Yeah, as the Morse code, as the Morse code of a distress call. However, May Day was picked because you can hear it better orally when in from airplanes, especially.
Like when we started having radio transmission.
Right, yeah. When radios, but SOS didn't transmit so good, and especially if you're diving toward the Earth, you want to think of something that works. And they decided to pick May Day, which stands for Aidez-moi, the French for help me, M apostrophe A-I-D-E-Z, Aidez, May Day.
Huh? Right, and so they figured that everybody could understand May Day meant help.
Help. So SOS works fine if you're using Morse code, but if you want to holler something into a microphone, people still use that term. That's what the origins of May Day as an international distress call is. And you heard it here on the Donalana Kitchen. Yes, yes. May. Well, also, yeah.
Oh, yeah. The as was noted in France yesterday, right?
Right. It is also International Workers' Day, huh? And I don't know why we don't celebrate it here more formally, because heaven knows there are workers here.
Well, we used to. And then, was it Truman? I could have this the wrong president, but it was considered a communist thing.
Yes, it is.
And so it was, the celebration of the worker was kind of prohibited on May 1st in solidarity with internationals. And we made our own Workers' Day, which then became Labor Day, right?
Right. Except Labor Day doesn't seem so much about solidarity and workers'
Not
rights.
At all.
It's more like...
Have a barbecue in
have
the
a
back.
Barbecue.
Yeah, have a day off, right?
And drink beer. Somehow, I think we should remember International Workers' Day. It started in the... in 1886.
Right, along with the time of the first... The first unionizing.
Right, right. There was something called the Knights of Labor, and the beginning of the AFL, the American Federation of Labor. And believe it or not, that's when they were first fighting for 8 hours shall constitute a legal day's labor. So that was
And it brought about things like weekends.
Right,
you know, eventually. So labor unions have done a lot for all of us, whether we're in a union or not. It did bring about, like as Lana said, the limiting of the hours that a person could reasonably work to 8 hours. And then, of course, we have the weekend.
I can't think of a better thing than the weekend. So International Workers' Day, May 1st, people are celebrating all over the world, celebrating or actually continuing the struggle all over the world.
There's still things that laborers need protections about.
Yeah, it never quite ends. Also, the first big riot, the Haymarket riot, was a riot on May 3rd in Chicago in 1886, where people were squashed for celebrating and for demonstrating. For
yeah, it was a labor rights movement that mm-hmm. was the Haymarket riot.
And so they bombs were thrown and people were jailed as anarchists and
sounds familiar, doesn't it?
Yeah. So it really does have to do with
May
labor.
Day, May Day.
Save us all. May Day, May Day, yes. So there's lots of May things. Cinco de Mayo. Cinco de Mayo is part of May, and that's coming up.
Yeah, that's the eat a taco day, right? That's the American version.
I like that.
It is a Mexican, I believe it's like their 4th of July, basically.
It is a political event holiday. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yes, it is. So lots of things to celebrate at the beginning of May. And if you're a mayfly, you're celebrating in May, too. That's one of those wonderful insects that really, truly hatches, goes through its life cycle in a really short time. So mayflies are part of it, too. And I was thinking of May things, Donna. May. Mayonnaise. Mayonnaise is May. So there, we'll celebrate mayonnaise. I like that because this is a cooking show. It is. We always have to get our little bit of food in there. That's good. That's good. Oh, I like May. It's good. I remember the May basket thing, and I haven't done a maypole in a long time, although I have danced a maypole or two in my time. Yes, I have.
Yes.
Very good. Very good. Some more celebration of good stuff. You're listening to the Donna Lana Kitchen. You can find out more about the Donna Lana Kitchen at khoifm.org. You can stream there. You can go to the Donna Lana Kitchen archives. There's recipes on the Donna Lana Kitchen page there. You get the picture of Donna and I. And Donna, tell us about we have a podcast now.
Oh, yeah, we do. The same content that we have, like, live right now on the radio is then rebroadcast. It's live at noon on KHOI and then rebroadcast at 7 o'clock at night on Tuesdays. And now on Thursdays, it's put up in a podcast format, so you can listen to it anywhere you listen to podcasts.
We like that. That's good. That's good. And thanks to people at Practical Farmers of Iowa for kind of helping us along and helping us learn the ropes there. Welcome back. This is the Donna Lana Kitchen. We're celebrating May today. Donna is looking forward to ramps. What are ramps, Donna?
It's not the wild garlic, which is also up, but the ramps are in the wild onion family.
Yes, yes.
And they do grow in the woods around here. Uh-huh. And fortunately, if you find a place where they're growing, they usually are in the same place next year. But you know, lots of people will pick them and pull the whole onion, the little bulby thing out of the... So if you're actually picking ramps that way, don't pick too many because then they won't, you know, if you pick too many, they won't come back next year. Another way to do it is to just clip a few leaves off because the leaves have a really nice rampy flavor too. And that does not disturb the ramp patch, right? Unless you have tons and tons and tons of them someplace. I have seen them in the supermarket this time of year.
I have two.
I bought some last week, and I just kind of roughly chopped them. You know, you have to clean off the little oniony ends, and then the whole rest of it is quite edible, and I chopped it up, and I just put it in I sautéed it, and then mixed it into some mashed potatoes.
Oh.
Think of it the way you would use a very delicate onion. It's not quite as sharp as a scallion.
No.
Or a spring onion, but they're just lovely, and that is something you can forage around here in this time of year.
Yes, you can, and I often wonder if that's why the little creek going through our farm, it's named Onion Creek. I wonder if they
were... Oh, from the wild onions.
I wonder. The ramps are... Because that's where I found them, kind of, and not really down in the water, but kind of... On the bank above the
creek.
Yeah,
they probably need a little moisture. And the garlic chives, the wild garlic chives, which are kind of flat-leafed, they are everywhere. Everybody probably has them in their backyard. You know, people think they're a nuisance, but they're quite, quite delicious.
Oh, do eat them.
And there's so many of them. I mean, you cannot pick too many of them. They also, later in the summer, when they get these kind of white flower blossoms on the top of a stalk. The blossoms, not the stalk. The stalk is too woody, but the little blossoms are delicious too on salads. But right now, you can go out, pick a whole handful of them, chop them up, boil a pot of pasta, butter up the pasta, throw the chopped garlic chives right into it, and lots of them. We're not just talking like a little chive decoration, but use it as a vegetable. Just stir them in and Serve it with a little Parmesan cheese. Salt and pepper.
See, these tastes of spring, it's almost worth waiting for. Yes, it is. I have a little baby chick update. I got a bunch of new baby chicks about a month ago.
How many did you get?
25, which when they first show up, aren't they cute? And now they're kind of grown, half grown, and they're kind of turned into little dinosaurs.
Yeah, that's a lot of baby-ish chicks.
They're poofing around now, so I am ready to move them from their little nursery space in my greenhouse into the bigger hen house because chickens they love to take dust baths, and so they really like to kick up and disturb everything.
A little messy. Well, especially indoors, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So Lana has a very good trick for integrating them into the flock.
It's always a trick. I've got six old hens, which I don't want to get rid of. They're fine, and I like their eggs. And we have the new hens. Now, the new little chicks.
The old hens don't like the new hens.
Yep, no. They would consider them imposters. So, to give the little chicks a running start, don't just throw them into the hen house willy-nilly. Wait until the sun goes down and everybody is on the roost and sleeping, or as much as chickens sleep. Maybe they sleep with their eyes open, I don't know. But you introduce new chickens into the old chicken space.
In the dead of night.
In the dead of night. Kind of slide them in there. And yes, they'll make peeping noises and kind of floof around. But one thing about chickens, they have a very short attention span. Chickens wake up each new day and say, this is new. Who are all these new people around? As opposed to being confronted with something brand new. So at least there may be some pecking order things that happen, which happens.
So there's less of a kerfluffle.
There is less of a kerfluffle. I've been doing that for years. Now, there will be chicken kerfluffles. I know there will be, but that is a good thing to do if you're trying to introduce new chickens to old chickens.
So perhaps no blood will be drawn.
Yeah, we shall see. Nah, usually blood. Yeah, that can happen.
They
can peck. Chickens are an interesting bunch of little beasts.
Well, here's something I found from my chicken raising experience. If they have a kerfluffle and there is a peck and there is blood, then they all start going after whatever has the blood on it. So you have to take that chicken out. And there is a product, even, that you put on it to stop the blood and stop the smell of blood, because otherwise the rest of the flock will just cannibalize it.
Yeah. We're talking
chicken brains.
Yeah, chicken brains and dinosaurs here. Mm-hmm. No, I love my chickens, but they have their pecking order.
They
too.
Have, yes. Pecking order is a real thing, and it's some behavioral stuff that one has to know if you're going to have a backyard flock.
Yes. So, chickens, May. Time for baby chicks, and then, the kind of juvenile delinquent chicks right now.
And Lana, have you changed any of your chicken growing things in light of avian flu?
I make sure to, for one thing, I ordered chicks from a company that I know is avian flu free and vaccinated and that sort of thing. I used to take on people's backyard chickens that they were
tired of.
I won't do that anymore because you never know where those chickens have been. So I'm a little more cautious about adding new chickens to the flock. Yes, I am. Oh, another thing. Donna, have you gotten any ticks yet this year?
Not that I know about.
Oh, dear. I have found quite a lot of ticks, but yes, be careful out there. There are ticks. And what I've been finding on me.
So you're saying this is a good tick season?
I think it's a great tick season, at least from the ticks, because this time of year, I've noticed they're teeny tiny and real hard to see, but not too hard to feel. So if you find something crawling up your leg, grab onto it and dispose of it, because it is probably a tick.
Yeah, I did not realize that the The spring ticks are teeny weeny.
Oh, yes.
What did you say, like a chia seed or something?
Oh, yeah, very tiny. They're the kind of insect that goes, I don't know what the term, but they go through this instar stage. They get laid as an egg, and they hatch, and they grow in little stages. And, yes, they start out pretty teeny tiny, but they crawl all over. So it was.
Lana mentioned to me that her personal favorite trick is to just lay in bed at night when you're really still and kind of check to see if anything feels like it's crawling on you. Because if it is, it's not your imagination.
It isn't.
Get up, turn on the light, find the little thing, and smash it.
Yes. Words from the Donna Lana Kitchen. Yes, it is. I know if you happen to be a tick lover, and I don't know how many there are out there, you could maybe, put them in your tick terrarium or something. But I would prefer to just get rid of the little suckers. Yes, I do. Watch out for ticks and on your pets, too, because I believe this is going to be a good tick season. When it's dry, ticks kind of have a good chance of growing. The rain won't knock them out, yes. Well, I have a news item, Donna. There's a news item.
Okay, some Iowa news items.
Tick-a-tick, 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 tick-a-tick from the Donna Lana Kitchen News Department. We have I want to mention, hot off the presses, the Iowa Farmers Union has unveiled an Iowa Family Cookbook, a collection of farm fresh Iowa recipes and stories. It's called Iowa Farms to Iowa Families, and I don't even have one in my hand right now, although I do have one on the way. We will talk about this book in
because
the future.
Lana has a recipe in it.
And yes, I believe I have a recipe in there, and we're going to see what I did. I don't remember, but I sent them something a while ago, and it'll be good. And it's not just the recipes, but there are stories in there too, and lots of pictures. And it looks like they did a fine job. It was made possible by funding from the United States Department of Agriculture through a local foods program. And so that's good. If you want to find out more, go to the iowafarmersunion.org and find out more about the Iowa Farms to Iowa Families cookbook. Yes. Oh. And I think they haven't done this before. And so it ought to be pretty good. I didn't know when you send recipes in to people that call for recipes, you never know. I thought, well, the spiral bound thing done on a typewriter, that's been done before. Really, there's a picture of the book, and it's going to be lovely.
It's modern. This is not the church basement cookbook.
No, it's going to be very, very nice. Good. So, we've been talking about May things today. We talked to Lojean Peterson from the Ames Main Street Farmers Market, and yes, it is coming soon, this coming Saturday, opening at 8 o'clock.
Yes, and wherever you are, there must be a farmers market nearby. Do attend and enjoy it.
I heard there's one in Nevada, Iowa, opening this Thursday, so things are good. Things are good. And we are on our next Donna Lana Kitchen, I believe we're going to be talking about cows, Donna. Cows.
Oh, my favorite subject.
Oh, good.
Oh, yes.
So do tune in for that. And keeping along with our May theme, the month of May in Britain, in the Anglo-Saxon name, translates to three milk month because the cows wake up in May, too. They're just happy. Yes, very good.
They have
good.
That good green grass, and you can milk them three times a day. And the full moon, which is coming up on Friday, is called the milk moon in some traditions.
We are just full of it today, aren't we, Donna? Good. You've been listening to the Donna Lana Kitchen. We've had music by the Barn Owl Band. Enjoy spring and support this fine radio station. If we're in your ears, put us in your heart. Support KHOI. My name is Lana Noctical.
And I'm Donna Prisgintas.
We've had excellent engineering by Mike Murphy. Eat good food and enjoy life.